is basically classical economics, and they do a lot of research on that area. So some kind of I would request Nadeem, I just saw Nadeem is on the room now, to have some level of discussion on post-COVID employment markets, and because there are could be positive trends and there are huge headwinds. So as to what kind of market we see, what is it that the companies should be doing, and what are the opportunities and what are the pitfalls right now? So maybe a discussion on that kind of a subject with knowledgeable people would help the forum trying to understand what is at least coming to the market now.
Bilkul theek ji, great. Thank you very much, ji. Wonderful of you people to join us. I appreciate your comment, and I think it's well worth thinking about. But I think, quite frankly, pre-COVID, post-COVID, with COVID, the world remains much the same. The world is for the creative, the innovative, and the people who are willing to work hard. It's not for people like Pakistanis who want a lolly handed to them on a platter through an SRO or through some kind of government handout. So that's why I thought we'd focus on HRM. It's been 70 years, and I want you people to focus on what our HRM practice is, because after all, I've got this book here right now. I hope many of you have seen it. Do you people recognize this book? Can you see it?
Yeah, we can see it.
Do you know this book?
No, not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Angie? Does anybody know this book? Okay. Let's
can
go.
Can you read out the title, Nadeem? Please. Can you read out the title? Can't see clearly.
How would you move Mount Fuji?
Okay. No, I have heard of it. I haven't read it.
The subtitle is Microsoft's Cult of the Puzzle. The second subtitle is How the World's Smartest Companies Select the Most Creative Thinkers. So this is how I want to motivate our discussion. Pre-COVID, post-COVID, I appreciate your difficulties. But if you can't do this, and if your states are only looking for SROs, then don't tell the World Bank or the IMF or anybody that ultimately it's our country, we have to make it grow. And the question is, do we manage our talent well? Everybody and his aunt and uncle comes to me and says, hey, educate kids. What are we educating kids for? To offer them no employment? So I think we need to focus on the other end of the spectrum, not just educate kids. But hey, guys, are you people, you are the leaders, are you offering them good jobs or not? If you are not, how can I tell my kids? I have 800 kids studying postgraduate stuff in my university. How do I tell them? What do I tell them? In fact, I tell them every lecture I give, I said, you're not going to get a job in this country. So leave. So I want to begin with that, and I'll come to this. Very simple. I'm going to start this webinar by sharing the screen with you, where I've got some preparation, not a lot, but let's see what we can do. Share screen. Yeah, share screen. Okay, done. Okay, let's see. We'll go and look at this. So I'll begin very simply with my two hypotheses that I want you to address is the international definition of a company is it's a network of talent. Microsoft is a network of talent. Pakistani definition of a company is a set with machines. So I want you key thinkers to begin with, and let me introduce my guests. I've got some very good guests. Imranul Haq, Sheikh Imranul Haq, who's been the CEO of NDO LNG project, also been the CEO of PSO, has a long experience in this country. Then I've got Taher Javed, who's been who's now the CEO of HEPCO, has been one of the major leaders in Engro. So he's got long experience in this country. Then we've got Dr. Khurram Tariq, CEO of K&M's, which I just discovered, is probably the only company in the world that puts on its website, in Pakistan, sorry, not in the world, that puts on its website that it's got R&D. Puram Sahib, I was very happy to see that you've got R&D. Most companies don't even talk about R&D. They don't even know the name. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. I'm deliberately being provocative, but correct me if I'm wrong. Then we got Sadia Haroon, director of HRSI, who does global executive search, which I'm amazed. Executive search, never heard of it, but we'll come to it. Then we got Ahmed Iqbal, who's a talent and culture head of PTCL. Very interesting title again. We have to talk about this thing. Your talent and culture head. That's a very interesting topic, Amjad Saab. So we'll talk about all that. So let me come to this. But first, let me begin with my panel. Can you please give me a quick one-sentence definition of these three terms? Human capital, human resource management, leadership. What do you understand by these terms? Since you are the leaders of this country, what do you understand by these terms? Imran, can you begin?
The human capital is an asset, mm-hmm. Which probably has some knowledge and skills and is important to be used for the organization to accomplish or advance its goals.
Okay, good. Prem Saab.
Human capital, HRM, leadership, ko alag alag define karna hai ya either of them?
Just very quick definition, just to warm up things.
I think the number one thing is the clarity, the crispiness in the clarity of the leader, the vision, which can actually give direction and purpose. Mm-hmm. And second thing, in my view, is he has the capability to inspire and engage the workforce and develop them. And number three is the, he's a culture curator.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, fair enough. Tahir Saab, you are now the leader of Hubco. Hubco is a very important company, which is one of the biggest companies in Pakistan. You've also been the head of HR in Grow. Can you give us your definition of these three things? Human capital, HRM, and leadership.
Okay. Technically, human capital is an accumulation of knowledge. It's basically traits what you look for, mm-hmm. which gives you the knowledge, the asset which is there, which will create, which has abilities, skills, and those kind of things put together is the capital definition of the capital. Okay. Previously, I mean, you had actual physical capital, which was more important. Then you had technology, which was more important. Now human capital is the defining or the comparative edge which you have. Mm-hmm. Just to manage this capital, which is what your human resource management, then there are mm-hmm. policies, there are compensation policies, and culture management is part of the HR management. Leadership, I think so, is an outcome of these two items. So if you have a human capital, which has got good skills, knowledge, and everything, and you have a way of managing them, you will technically develop a leadership pipeline to run the company. That's how I see it.
Okay, good. Sadia Bibi, you are the expert recruitment manager. Please tell us.
Human capital is the backbone of everything and anything. HRM systems may sound very interesting. All the technology may sound very interesting. Really required has to be and should be done locally and culturally adaptable. Leadership, very, very interesting because leaders have to be developed. Leaders, and you identify leaders and you take them to the next level. And leadership is what the company should be looking at, but what the company should be actually cultivating within their organization.
Okay. Ji Amjad Saab.
Well, thank you, sir. And my input would be more towards, I mean, from practitioner's perspective, when I say human capital, I'm talking about two dimensions. One is somebody who has a proven record in terms of his or her performance. And number two, somebody who has a potential for a future as well. So both performance, proven record, and the potential for a future, to me, collectively make the human capital. Every employee cannot be stamped as a human capital.
Okay.
When it comes to human resource management, I would, you know, tend to agree with Nadeem Saab. It's more of your HR and people and culture and talent-related practices that enable human capitals, right? So it's more towards the practices and it's more towards the policies that nurture the kind of talent that we are talking about. And to me, leadership is more of a process, I would say, to take others along for a specific objective or target or intent that we are up. So it's more of a process of taking others along and then collectively accomplishing something.
Good. Thank you. Nikhil, this is our third seminar or webinar on human resource management. This is because I think it's critical. I went to the University of Chicago. I studied with the man who invented the term human capital, Gary Becker. I studied with many people, Jim Hickman, who was a Nobel Prize winner, Paul Romer was my classmate, he got the Nobel Prize last year. The upshot of mentioning these names is that the world recognizes now, whether it's COVID or not COVID, the world recognizes now that it is a talent game. It is a pure talent game. There is nothing else. No, the business is just pure talent. If you look at Google, if you look at Facebook, if you look at anything, even Baidu, even Alibaba, it's pure talent management business. And our hypothesis is, and you can refute this and tell me I'm wrong, and I'd be very happy to hear that, that Pakistan is talent repellent. Imran, your classmates who have done very well, who is that? Salman Amin, if I remember right, and the other guy who's with Citibank, these guys did very well. They're sitting outside. They can't come into the country. I have so many of my classmates who are sitting outside. Everybody has so many people sitting outside. Wall Street is the best talent, Pakistani talent. San Francisco has the best Pakistani talent. They are not welcome here. So we'll get to that. So that's why I'm interested in human resource management policies, because it's a very important subject. So let me come to the subject. We all know, I was going to summarize good to last and, you know, build to good to great, et cetera, et cetera. You know, the books, various books. I won't do that. But the point is visionary companies that are world leaders. Now, Imran and Tahir, specifically, I want you to answer this and anybody else can jump in. You have both worked in public sector and private sector companies. You've led public sector and private sector companies, both of them, and the best of them, Engo, which is the best agreed. Nobody can dispute that. And Imran, you've been in PSO, Tahir, you are in HUBCO right now. These are very important companies. I just want to ask you these two questions. Do we have visionary companies? Do we have world leaders as far as CEOs and things concerned? Can you tell us about the recruitment, grooming, and management deficiencies in the public and private sectors? So please, Imran, can you start?
In terms of generalities, except for maybe a few companies which have their legacies in the multinationals or the joint venture partners coming from abroad, yes, in general, we are talent repellent. If you take the Engros, the Exxons, the Hubcos, the ICIs of the world away, who will still attract talent. But I think the foreign educated talent is slowly dying away. It's more coming out of the LUMs and the IBAs. The primary factor that has happened, I think, is over the last 20 years. One is the education system. We are unable to find the right resources, the right background in individuals. My experience at PSO was even more amazing. The applicants were in thousands because of the unemployment that we had in the younger crowd. But going through the process of recruitment and trying to sort them out, we had to obviously devise some strategies. But at the end of the day, it was a compromise. It was a compromise because these guys, the children, no fault of theirs, had been restricted to what I call the rata culture that we have. They had not been made aware of the world. They had no exposure to the world. They were not street smart. And they were only looking for one thing. One thing was just get a job. Or maybe government ka job. Private sector ji nahi wahan kaam bahut karna padta hai, badi mehnat karni padti hai. The average boy would come in or the average girl would come in and try and get a position. So you had to now spend a significant amount of time training. Training itself has been a challenge as well. How do you train these people into the new world when they are not up to date in terms of the education, in terms of going to a university like LUMS for training? I had to ask LUMS to reduce their level so that we could train these human, this capital that we're trying to bring in, to at least be able to think on their feet. And finally, the culture of the organizations, the public sector organizations, where decision-making is not preferred, where, you know, the expectation was that the trainee engineer, which in Angro is qualified to become a resource of the company in about a year's time, the culture was that, oh, it takes about 6 years to train an engineer. So the culture was not facilitating at all. The culture was based on no performance award, on a typical, you know, the compensation program that we have, which is fixed on number of years of service and all that, and a mass promotion process. So I have been here 10 years, so all of us have to be promoted at the same time. In terms of people that you mentioned, you know, yes, quite a few of our friends don't want to come back. And it's the general environment of not being able to test things out as I would like to. And what I mean by that is, as an employee, I need some freedom to do things. I need to learn new things. I need to be recognized for doing things. That doesn't happen. So without getting more details, that's basically my summary of the thing.
Thank you. Thank you, Imran. Tahir, tell us.
Thank you. Okay. I'll not try to cover anything which Imran has covered. I think she's covered it very well. Just coming to my friends, that's where I'm going to start. Why they're not coming back, what reasons they... There could be multiple reasons. There could... One of the reasons is the economic is a very big reason. The quality of lifestyle is another reason. And for some, the predominant is the relevance of the experience, the job content and the enrichment of the job which you get over there. It may not be parallel to what we have over here. We don't have any sophisticated companies. Coming to the market and what kind of experiences we have in various companies, non-covered Engro and PSO, but there is another set of companies which are coming up, which are much more progressive and are much more talent savvy. There are companies in the technology industry, there are companies in the service industry which are coming up. There are examples of companies like Daraz and other companies which are coming up. There are brand companies like Khadi's, which started off as entrepreneurs. So there is another set of organization and breed which is coming up in Pakistan where the talent is going. And those are the younger lot, which is going towards companies which are different in nature. Their HR practices are different. And I think so those are the companies which are emerging quite a bit. When you come to classical companies, which are heavy capital companies like maybe power plants and whatever not, they are, if you just ask them, why are they not innovative? Why are they not producing leaders? From a world scale, they are just a very, very small operating entities. They're operating, if you talk about Exxon or big companies, they are a very, very small component of those companies. The kind of challenges those companies face, the kind of markets they're looking at, doesn't give the talent that kind of challenges which are required to develop world-class talent. So those are the kind of things which are there. So when you're looking at talent which is coming into the companies, I feel we are lucky because we are very few of those who are competing for the best of the lot from the engineering universities, from management schools. So we are able to attract and input good talent. And I think so they grow pretty well and they're able to perform. So
good. Now, day after tomorrow, we are also going to have a webinar on why companies don't grow in Pakistan. I'll invite all of you to come there. We've got people like Atif Bajwa on that. We want to explore, PID is a national think tank, we want to explore what the hell, I would use a stronger word, but I can't, it's Ramadan. What the hell is going on here? Why is it that in the year 2020, we are blaming COVID, but hey, it's not COVID, it's us. We can't recruit talent. So let's go on from here. Anybody wants to jump in, please tell me.
Can I add?
Yeah, please do. Please do.
So, you know, I would like to build what the lead colleagues have just talked about. You see, as of today, what I've seen in last 18, 20 years of at least my career, that the leaders who are actually leading the organizations at all the levels for that matter, they tend to focus on the current job requirements. And the moment you focus on your current job requirements, you design complete systems of yours as a HR organization to cater that current requirement. And the moment you start catering today's requirement, you miss on the major part, which is the future. So that visionary leadership, for that matter, that futuristic culture is actually somehow is compromised. And that is why organizations have developed their internal systems more focusing on the current requirement. So therefore, if you build on your current and fulfill your current capabilities, we will not end up leading towards, you know, the next level organization, which is the visionary organizations. So the focus has to be changed. Focus has to be from current to the futuristic. And the moment you start thinking of a future, you actually try and make an effort to build more resilience from a future's perspective. So something that is missing is the approach in terms of the orientation. So orientation has to be changed first. And the moment will change the orientation, automatically all your systems, processes, policies, practices will automatically align with that futuristic overall approach. And then you actually cater to the future requirements more as compared to your current requirement.
Good point. Thank you.
I will pick it up from what Tahir said about Daraz. I'm the only consultant in Pakistan who works with Daraz locally, regionally, and globally with Alibaba. Let me tell you one thing very clearly. Their average age is 33. Their global CEO is 38 years old. Their local CEO is 32 years old. The company thrives on young talent. They are Chinese. They have no retention policies. They give, and they, by the way, they also do not pay market salaries, but the brand itself is so strong that once you're employed by Daraz, Zameen, OLX, any e-commerce business will handpick you and pay you double. Because people coming out of Daraz are used to working 16 to 17 hours. They are used to multitasking. They don't do one thing, they do three jobs, one. Hence the focus on younger generation. I work with Zong, as Amjad very rightly said. After PTCL, Zong is the only company in telecommunication who picks up 200 management trainees from all across Pakistan, and they train them according to what Zong wants them to be in next 3 years. So, absolutely correct. We have to start from the bottom. What Imran Saab said, I do a lot of free of cost college sessions on how to find a job, what to do, how to go for an interview. And these are free sessions, by the way. I go to all colleges. Probably if I go to 10, I get a positive response from 3 colleges. And every time I go, I come back disappointed. I usually ask for a class of 50, not more than that. And when I ask them, ki beta, ye subject kyun choose kiya tha? To yakeen maniye, 3 bachon ko pata hota hai kyun choose kiya tha. Kisi ke abba aaye the Saudiya se, to unhone kaha tel ki company mein kaam kar lo. Mere marks acche nahi the, to dost yahan ja rahe the. Aap kyun aa gaye? Wo mere wo cousin ke bhai ne kaha tha na, yahan naukri kar lete hain. So, जब आपके बच्चों को आप ग्रूम ही नहीं करेंगे तो वो फिर इमरान या अमजद ताहिर साहब के पास कैसे आते खड़े होते कहते हमें जॉब क्यों चाहिए काम ही नहीं करना चाहते हम फेसबुक पे सारा वक्त देखते मेरी असाइनमेंट है मैं 2 रुपए पर वर्ड दूंगे असाइनमेंट कर दूंगे आज रात को
You can't say that, Sadhya. The point is, this happens all over the world. Facebook is everywhere. Every kid is doing it. Now, what is so special about those companies? But let me interject here for a minute. Imran and Tahir, they are both very proud having worked in Engro or PSO. But let me remind them, these are small and medium companies as far as the international market is concerned. Engro is worth $1.5 billion, which is like peanuts, which is like, I think, every kid, Imran, every kid on Wall Street is walking around with that kind of money, right? And PSO, probably larger, probably is worth $3 billion. So Imran, these are very small companies. Why? So, but we'll take that subject up later. Khurram Tariq, can you please look at the slide and tell me, you, as I said, I was very surprised to check out your website that you had R&D listed there. So you had an unusual company. I haven't had a chance to study it. Can you please look around you and tell me how many visionary companies do you know? And if you don't see any, why? And then what is it that you're doing? If you're running a visionary company, how are you? What is your recruitment HRM practices that are different from the rest? And do you train your people? Do you actually have a training company? While I was researching this, I found out, for example, what is this company? I mean, Google, etc. Even my organization, I used to work for the IMF. Blame the IMF for whatever you'd say. IMF gave me 10 years in the research department with no requirements but to research. My cousin works in Bell Labs and he does nothing but research, all funded by AT&T, right? So there is research priority. Do our companies do research, Khurram Saab?
First of all, the perspective, leadership, we are not looking, when I say we, that doesn't mean me, we as private sector, we are not looking for leadership. We are looking for managers who are compliant towards us, the state, and who are controllers of the middle management and the workers at large. So, and we are looking for loyalties, which actually breeds mediocrity. So, yes, there are few visionary companies, very few. Most of them are small. They have clear vision, but they work on niche markets, and they're small in size. They're very small. And when we come to the large size organizations, large size in Pakistani context, Interloop is an example of a visionary company, and they have deep rooted HR practices. As far as we are concerned, we are a mid-sized company, less than $50 million turnover. But we do research on business models. So there is a limit to the products which we can produce in this country. But what we have done is that we have created a supply chain model, having an office in US. And then we try to align or create new distribution channels and new business models. So it's a kind of, we create relationships. Most of them are triangular. Having three partners. And we serve a specific need of a specific market. So most of our research is on that side. And we do hire talent. We have in-house training as well. I'm also personally involved in that. So we do that. It's not very, very structured, but we do that.
Okay, thanks. Well, there are
can I add? Many HR
functions. Sorry, go ahead. Conboarder?
I have a comment for you. As said, besides the brick and mortar, the big companies you see, Pakistan has a lot of startups which have come in, like the areas which we talked about. I have a friend which runs iTextile, and I see a lot of research going on in fabrics over there with him, from him. So, assuming that R&D is not happening in the country, what we need to do is find out where to the areas it is happening. And there are people out there who are working on that areas, but they are not in the KC 100, or you're not visibly around. So there are people around who are doing that.
That's very good to know. Okay. I won't go through all the HR functions here, but I hope that all of you do practice this. But the other thing I want to raise is that we've got about 7 or 8 different kinds of organizations. Now we've got people here who represent the government, who work in the PSCs, who worked in our big, large private companies. We don't have anybody from the multinationals, 4Gs. Well, we've got one multinational virtually, but we need to look at all this. So HR is a very complex subject. And the only reason I raise this is because our researchers should take this challenge up and try and fill this up for us. But let me get into, and we want to really look at the recruitment method. So let me ask Sadia, your experience of recruiting in Pakistan. First question, why are so many heads of public agencies lying vacant? They can't seem to fill these for years, for decades. We can't seem to find heads of regulatory agencies, SCCP commissioners, etc. All these agencies lying vacant. Why are VC appointments? I'm a vice chancellor. I see the vice chancellor appointments are pathetic. Why are they so substandard? Why do we not get good corporate leaders? What do you do? Your recruitment, is it only for senior people? Do you only recruit for Alibaba, Zoom, etc.? Do you do any mid-management recruitment for Pakistani companies? Of the 9 companies I showed you, 4G included, government included, how many people come to you? And what are the search methods that you use? Because the government uses one search method. Advertise, 2-minute interview, and that's it. So how do you recruit? So please, lots of questions, but Sadia, go ahead, tell us.
All very relevant. We work with all the companies that you have mentioned, and we work across all verticals and all jobs, starting from riders, going up to the CEOs. I have subject matter specialists. I have teams who do it. What is our process? You come to me, my first question would be for the HR. I'm one of the very few exceptions, by the way, in Pakistan. I'd like to not be told that I'm a service provider. I'm a business partner, where I want to tell the HR to give me the job description, and then I want to meet the line manager. Because it's not about what Amjad said, that we only look at the skill set, what is on a JD. I want to meet the line manager to understand what's his vision, what his personality is like, what is he looking at? Because I don't want to interview or waste anybody's time if the line manager and the applicant's mindset and personalities don't match. That's very important to bring the culture, whatever the culture is. I'm not here right now to discuss the culture. We have to match the culture. My experience, why are so many public sector heads lying vacant, is very interesting. Last year was the first time I interacted with public sector. And sadly, they are all, and I met a lot of senior people who all had very fancy degrees, but they actually didn't know what is an executive search firm is, which was so surprising to me. And that I had to explain it to them, that why am I meeting them? Am I meeting them as a candidate? One of very senior person said, "So unhone aapko mere paas bheja hai isliye." I said, "Nahi, I found you on LinkedIn. You responded on my LinkedIn, invite, and we set up a time. I'm here to discuss a career with you." He didn't believe that. He thought ke wo state saab ne bheja hai unko mere paas ke bas main sifarish kar dun aur unko naukri mil jaye. So your public sector is very, very removed from what's happening in the corporate sector. They are two different languages. It's for me to talk to a public sector agency is like speaking Chinese. They will serve me tea, they will serve me Mari biscuits. We can have a very good lengthy conversation. What will I get out of it? Nothing. On the other hand, if I go to even a second tier or third tier company, I can actually talk to them and say, you know what, this is how I charge, this is what I'm looking at, these are my timelines, and we'll walk away. The public sector will ask me, MOU kyun sign karenge, hum itne paise nahi denge, and then there will always be 5 people calling me up from different parts. Inka CV bhi dal dein, ye chairman sahab ko pasand nahi aaya. I'm being very blunt over here. You want to know the real picture, this is the real picture. And in the end, finally, kahin se koi parchi aa jati hai, aur ad to lagna hi hai. Kyunki government ka kaam hai, to wo to audit bhi hona hai, to wo 400 applications भी आनी है और आपके पब्लिक सेक्टर की पोजीशंस तो टेलर भी की जाती हैं एट के अंदर सो दैट इज वन ऑफ द मेजर थिंग्स इन पब्लिक सेक्टर एंड इफ अ पब्लिक सेक्टर डिपार्टमेंट विल गेट समबडी फ्रॉम द कॉर्पोरेट सेक्टर He doesn't know how to work with public sector. He doesn't know कि आपके क्लर्क के पास जो फाइल पड़ी है उसके पास कितनी ताकत है आप जितनी मर्जी स्ट्रैटेजी बनाते हैं वो फाइल ही नहीं लेगी He is bogged down with so much bureaucracy that eventually he leaves. Or he gets frustrated. Or he becomes part of that process and he says, पैसे मिल रहे हैं करते रहो हो सकता है साथ में दो चार और कॉन्ट्रैक्ट मिल जाए वर्ल्ड बैंक वाले ले लें सो दिस इज द रीजन योर पब्लिक सेक्टर does not get filled by good people.
Secondly, you have to with the private sector.
Yeah. And the same thing, we see appointment substandards. Another reason, financial plays a big part as well. Public sector is not paying the salaries that are required for good individuals from coming back from abroad. As I mentioned earlier, I've done a project last year, 2019, for a client to actually see non-resident Pakistani talent at mid to senior level availability, willingness to come back. There is a huge availability, there is willingness, but Pakistan does not offer them anything except ki ammi abu bure ho gaye hain ya ab time ho gaya bacche jawan ho rahe hain tum wapas aa jao. Those are personal reasons. And that means wo aadhi zindagi wahan chhod kar aate hain. We need to have an ecosystem to call back our non-resident Pakistanis who are experts, who are willing to come. India has that, by the way. They have different compensation system, regardless what company it is. If you want a non-resident Indian coming and working, who's a specialist, he will get paid differently from your local general manager or an expert. So that's one. My process is very simple, as I said. I match personalities, I match cultures. My disappointment comes from third generation local state because hamare local state, jo dada ne kaam shuru kiya tha, beto ne bhadaya, aage unhone apne bachcho ko bahar padhne bhej diya, whether it was because they could afford it or whether the children could were smart enough. Now when these boys and some girls, they come back, Directly, they are put on director level positions. Some are very good, like IBL. They make all their children go through proper jobs. And you see the difference in Khadi, and you see the difference in OPTP and the likes of it. But generally, the third generation comes back. They're working with the fathers. Their reality check is so removed. The peasant and noble mindset is so much there, even in private sector. That states aapko jab rakhte hain wo expert ko rakh ke bhi kaam nahi karne dete when you talk about leaders kyun nahi bante you will pick up somebody from Nestle you will pick up somebody from PepsiCo and these are people like Shan and National Foods they will pay them good salaries but would they let them make their own decisions no it will the decision will be made at the dining table where the taya chacha or the stakeholders supposedly will be sitting Hence, we lack leadership. Till the time we don't give environment to our managers to take risks.
अभी एक बात बताएं, what is executive search? ये जो हमारे इस public sector में जो चीज है, कि एक committee, I participated in that, so I can't tell you, I personally participated in that. They come, they've asked many times to come and interview, and I always throw a fit here. What the hell is happening? Because there's one. Advertisement, tailor-made, as you said, sometimes 60 candidates turn up and you have three or four people, five secretaries, and you are sitting there and you look at the face, the resume is shown to you at the moment, and then you have to ask one question only because there's no time, because somebody has to rush away. So on one question, I have to say, I like this guy or I don't like this guy. But in any case, all the guys who turn up are not even worth showing, talking to. So what do I do? So what is executive search? And they call it a search committee.
That's not a search committee. That you don't do this. You first of all, public sector has to understand this. They are not selecting a candidate. The candidate is also selecting them. You have to respect the candidate. You have to respect the process. Aap 60 logon ko kisi level pe ikatthe nahi bula sakte. Aap 60 interview kar hi nahi sakte ek din mein. Aap 4 se interview senior level ke kar lijiye, wohi bahut badi baat hai. The search criteria for these public sector, if they have to go through the audit, they will have to engage external agencies who are specializing in this. Please advertise. Let us do the shortlisting. Let us do the first interview process. Let us go, let us decide whether it's technical, whether it's you want them to go through online testing, IQ, EQ, whatever you assessments. Let's have some concrete assessment along with the independent consultant's review before you meet 5 people or 6 people.
Main ek baat kahun ki kal hum civil service reform pe bhi tha. Sorry, it's not civil. कल हम पब्लिक सेक्टर मैनेजमेंट पे भी एक वेबिनार कर रहे हैं, उस पर बहुत सारे लोग आ रहे हैं, आप लोग प्लीज़ आके सवाल पूछे ये क्या हो रहा है. तो इस पे अब मैं आगे चला जाऊं, लेट्स गो टू द लर्निंग ऑर्गेनाइजेशन.
आई एम वेरी सर, कैन आई ऐड ऑन दिस
प्लीज
हायरिंग साइड वेरी क्विकली.
जी जी, गो अहेड
जी. हां, सो सर देखें, द क्वालिटी ऑफ टैलेंट प्राइमरली डिपेंड्स अपॉन, अगेन एज आई सेड, कि प्रीरिक्विजिट्स यू हैव. And when I say prerequisites, I'm talking about the competence that you're looking for a particular job, and it's coming the culture that you want to continue, you know, in the organization, maintain in the organization. Mm-hmm. So let me zoom into when I say competencies. So when I say competencies, I'm talking about one, the functional, the technical competence of an individual, and in parallel also the leadership competence that we expect an individual to demonstrate at whatever level we are hiring, maybe at the beginner level or at the top level. Mm-hmm. And then there is a third addition, which is actually the visionary side. Have we as your organization added the digital persona to this competence framework? Because now if you're hiring somebody for a technical competence and for a leadership, and at the same time you're missing on that digital front, digital persona, I call that, this would mean that this person will not be enabled for a future. He or she may be good in terms of performing today's requirement, but in terms of future transition and transformation, he or she won't be performing to that level. In parallel, there is another shade, which is culture. We hire people primarily on the technical side, but we miss the other part, which is the culture, the attitude side. And culture ki importance ko let me highlight and relate, because, you know, from an external customer point of view, we have a brand. We say that we as a company, we want us to be seen as ABC in front of external customer. This is what we call as a brand. Now, how that external brand is going to be reflected internally, if I will not enable my internal workforce to actually demonstrate the kind of behavior we expect from our people, and we at the same time we preach to our external customer, there has to be linkage. So that linkage is established through your corporate values. Corporate values help an organization in terms of nurturing the kind of a culture that you want your external customer to see you from, that from brand perspective. So at the hiring time, if an organization is not clear the kind of values they want from an individual to demonstrate, the technical, the leadership, and the digital competence framework which they want their new joiner to demonstrate at the workplace, obviously the quality of hire will suffer. And whatever we would hire, we'll hire for a one that specific particular task, and then we'll miss the rest of the part of the pie. So if we want us to improve our talent acquisition practices, we need to, as an organization, be clear in terms of what competence we are looking for in terms of technical, the leadership side, and now I'm adding to the third, which is the digital persona, in parallel to the corporate value. So these four factors should determine the requirement of an organization. And these four factors must be aligned with your future vision. If your vision is to reach out to the external world, which is the next world, then from that perspective, your competency framework must be designed on those lines. Earlier, you were talking about visionary organization. Let me add to one factor. If you do a small study, and that study is all about evaluating vision statements of all these organizations, you will figure out that their vision is actually not a vision. Their vision is more of a strategic goals for that matter. If a company is not clear in terms of their vision, and when I say vision, I'm talking about across the globe, reaching, how many companies have defined their vision to reach to the other world out of Pakistan? most of the company's vision is more focused towards internal. So therefore, you are not a global. You don't aspire to be a global company. And if you don't aspire to be a global company, you cannot develop your internal frameworks to address that requirement. So therefore, whosoever you would hire would be more of a mediocre, and he or she would fit into today's role, and they will not fulfill future, you know, aspects and aspirations.
Excellent. Very good. This is where I think I should bring in this question. Ji.
In the public sector thing.
Batao, batao.
The advertisements you have, they are so structured that if you go back one step ahead, then you have to re-advertise. For example, if you find somebody in the pool, or we were interviewing the accountants for the CFO position and, you know, DMD finance position, and we found out that, you know, the guy who was applied for DMD finance was a better man at a general manager position. But lo and behold, we could not hire him because the advertisement he had applied for was against the wrong advertisement. Nothing happens like that in the multinational or private sector. If you find the right guy, you find him, you find a position for him, and you hire him. This structure which is so much, where will the vision come from? That structure, you want to be a 50-year-old man, be a vice chancellor, be 50 PhD papers. That's not what the chancellor has to do. That's same thing with our GMs. Ji, itne 15-20 saal ka experience ho, is cheez mein experience ho. Wo 30 saal wala, 35 saal wala experience ladka to aa hi nahi sakta. So how are you going to acquire talent? In public, private sector again, if you get a good resume in the mail, you think the guy is good, you call him. Here you can't even afford to do it. A lot of institutions, including the Supreme Court, will come in and challenge it. So, this structured hiring you have in the public sector mein nahi ho sakti hai. Public sector ki major employer aapka, aapko naukri chahiye kyunki pakki naukri hai, benefit facilities milte jayenge, kaam karenge na. That is the whole objective in public sector. Just my two cents.
Sahi baat. Achha ji, main learning organization pe aana chahta hu. Peter Senge wrote this lovely book, and I'm a great fan of it. And I think, quite frankly, as I said, it ties in with our subject, and it ties in with the fact that the, as I said, the major thinkers in the world think that a corporation is a learning organization. Corporation, human capital, machines don't matter. Machines are a 20th century phenomenon, a 19th century phenomenon. Now machines don't matter. It's all human capital. So please tell me, ke aapki organization learning kaise karti hai? Give me some concrete examples. How do you reward learning? How do you reward creativity? Creativity is supposed to be the most important. That's why I showed you this book. Amjad Sahab, that's why I showed you this book. So Amjad Sahab, aap lead kariye. PTCL mein, mashallah, you're creativity and talent manager. So please, mujhe bataiye, what is creativity in PTCL? How do you train people to be creative, etc.?
Okay, great. So let me narrate complete how do we manage this complete subject, and we are evolving as a learning organization. In PTCL, we have a process in place, which is again a talent related process, and we call that process as a talent review process. Now this talent review process is an annual activity, and this helps us in segregating our people into different colors. And why segregating? Because I want us to be more targeted in terms of the people's development. For example, if A requires A type category in terms of development, we should be pushing that A category instead of pushing B or C category. So in order to be more structured in terms of our offering to our employee, we have this process of talent review, and we segregate people in a grid of 15 grids. We have 5 on horizontal and 3 on vertical. So we have a 15 grid model, and we have different shares within that 15 grid. And we segregate people into that. Now, once we have segregated, next is to address their development needs based on the colors they are tagged. Those who fall into, for example, green color, for them, we have a different structured development program. And those who fall towards the other end, which is more towards red, and red does not mean that we do not want them to be in the organization. Red would mean that they need basic development requirements. So therefore, for them, we have a separate category. Now, this review process is only for the officers. And if we are a 16,000-17,000 headcount company, out of 16,000-17,000, we are 4,000 officers. So we apply this this model to this 4,000 officers. Now, in terms of the trainings, contents, and delivery, we have, as of today, applied both approaches. One is our traditional, which is classroom training. And from classroom's perspective, we have 12 learning centers across the country. And in those learning centers, we have structured curriculum, which is being taught, and we have instructors and everything. The digital part is a separate. And in the last 3 years, we have added this digital part. Now, once we realize that, you know, the moment you start segregate people, and at the same time, we know that the kind of literacy required is much more as compared to we as a company traditionally providing to our employees in terms of, you know, physical classrooms and making batches and offering them and taking them off the work and, you know, inculcate trainings and send them back. That's a complete cycle. So you need to invest more in terms of times and resources. But in parallel, we have realized that this model will not work going forward, because for so many hours, you cannot spare your people to leave their workplace and reach out to training centers, attend to trainings. And there too, you can understand mostly people, you know, take this as a casual leave for that matter. So therefore, the effectiveness or the productivity of trainings are not up to the level which is required. So therefore, we went into this digital side. Now, 3 years back, we started off with this digital learning. We purchased, we purchased Harvard Mentor, Managed Mentor courses. And we also purchased one of the digital library, which is Skillsoft. And within that library, we had more than 100 plus courses available. And we offered those courses to 1,000 plus people, because we purchased number of IDs for 1,000 out of 4,000. For 1,000 people, we purchased these IDs and we passed on. In the first year, I had a difficulty in terms of pushing people to go for these digital certifications. But then we created some sort of motivation and hooks in between, and we somehow amended some of our policies. For example, promotion policy got little amended that, you know, if you will not qualify these certifications, you won't be considered for promotion. So we created some kind of a hook and push strategy. So after applying that hook and push, now in this year, which is 2019, we have just concluded. In 19, we somehow managed to motivate individuals to earn more than 30,000 certifications. Now, please don't forget, we are a legacy company having 70 plus years of age. So we have multiple workforce generations. And when I say multiple workforce generation, this includes Generation Z, Generation X, Generation Y, and even baby boomers as well. Now, all these generations have a different kind of a learning appetite. They have a different kind of learning adoption rate for that matter. So Generation Y and Z are immediate. They immediately go grab the opportunity, learn, earn certificate, and they try to implement the learnings as well. But the Generation X and baby boomers, and in some case traditionalists, then we have a serious issue in terms of pushing them and asking them for more certification. But to begin with, as a talent head, my priority is to create this adoption rate in the organization first, and then I will jump into and start, you know, pushing for the effectiveness and the impact side of these learnings. So in a way, as an organization, we have moved ahead. We have moved slowly and gradually from a traditional learning to this digital side, right? For the officer more specifically. And in parallel, for all those green people, for them, we have a structured program signed up with, say, with LUMS, signed up with international organizations. This include, for example, Informa Telecom is another, and other interventions, business simulation based. So categorization of talent has helped us in terms of identifying the training intervention which are more relevant to their level and their aspirations as well. So as a company, we have these parallel as of today, the traditional learning. Yes, we are continuing with that because we have a overall workforce of 16,000. And out of 16, if I minus 12, around 12,000 are non-management. And non-management implies need typical jointing and welding and digging trainings, which are in a way pretty legacy type of training, which are as of today required because we are a fixed line operator, and a fixed line operator must know how to make a joint, how to dig a trench, how to lay the cable, all these technical. They are there. So these
What is the average age of your managers?
Yes, this is a good question. My average age in terms of my managers, and when I say managers, this includes assistant managers up to CEO, average age is close to 46 or 47 years. Now look at the average age. Now this kind of average age cannot and will not and is not an easy to compete in a market which is telco, where average age is in 30s. So we are competing with the organizations who fall into 30s, and still, I mean, we are pushing and pulling and, you know, making sure that our pie is cured.
Okay. Fair enough. QG, Tahir, Imran, do you have to say anything about this?
How are Engro and Hubco and PSO learning managements? And then I'll come to Khurram Saab. Ji. Imran?
I can probably talk of more on Engro and Hubco, but I'll just make a couple of comments. I don't think creativity just comes only by learning, by working in a company. It has to be the culture of the company. When we came into these organizations, we had one organization, the public sector, where people would stand up when the MD walked in, address him by sir, as sir, and then keep quiet. Whereas in the private sector organization, it was the first day you were told you call everybody by the first name. So that's the culture that comes in. The second part that comes in is the reward part. Reward is in your performance. You can do whatever learning you can do. Because you have got a certificate in, you know, Microsoft or whatever, doesn't mean you get it an extra bonus. It may be different for blue collar workers, but for white collar, it doesn't work that way. The training programs are there. And the major thing that happens is when you get into senior management or management positions, the company then takes you out of the country for training. You can go to Harvard for a 3-month program, you can go to London School of Economics for whatever program you want to do. The company will take the time out and spend the money to train you, which itself is enough of a motivation. So rewards,
civil servants are also sent out for training to Harvard, to everywhere, so you can't say that.
Yeah, that's true, but not everybody. Yeah, I know. I buy that argument. So I leave it to Tahir to give you details on what the programs that they followed. But basically, just because you've been on a program doesn't mean you have become creative, and then you should be rewarded for that.
Right. Tahir?
Thanks, Imran. Nadeem, I'm going to give you two examples, and then one which we had at Engro. We thought if we send all executives to INSEAD, they will become better leaders. So what we did, we picked up advanced management program. I'm guilty of selecting that program because I was HR head at that time. And we used to send people to 22 days of a retreat in close to Paris, and a good learning environment. And people used to go there, come back, and the life used to go on. So after we sent the 7th guy over there, the professor over there asked him, what difference has it made to your organization? He said, what do you mean? What difference is it supposed to make? So the learning organization is in my mind, is the one which can integrate the learning which you're trying to give them as part of the job with it, what they do. And I've over a period of time, I found that to be a much better tool to use. I'll give you a simple example. Right now, what we are working on at Hub is moving from a RFO-fired boilers to coal-fired boilers in Thar. So we had two options, is to go out and try to get people from outside and teach. What we did, we picked up people from our existing plants where their skills would have been, had become stagnant because the plants are not running. And we made a group of around 80 to 90 technicians, engineers, and various sorts of people, and developed the ecosystem. So to me, the learning is very, very strong when it is somehow integrated into the job. And if you are able to integrate that into a job, the organization will start learning as a process. You talked about Peter Senge. I've gone through quite a few books. So, I mean, in order for you to make an organization, a learning organization, it cannot be a standalone activity which happens in a classroom, doesn't happen on a web portal. They are just tools to give you maybe 5 to 10% of the knowledge. You need to understand that learning needs to be made integral part of experiences at the job. And you need to make an environment which is safe enough people to fail. If they're able to fail and restart, I think so you will enable an organization to be a learning organization. And that becomes the toughest part for the organization to understand. Easy part is to just give the learning out to some some training institution, give it to some consultant, because it requires a lot of interaction and a lot of work required by leaders to be able to enable this kind of environment.
Ji Khurram Saab, would you like to add something on this?
Ji, I'll share my opinion. What we do is we have a headcount of around 3,000. So one is the structured training programs, like people going to LUMS. We clear expectations prior to they going, and then we try to disseminate when they come back. They have to debrief a group. So we try to disseminate that training. And secondly is learning on the go. What we do is we try to convert every assignment or a small project into a development assignment. So it is briefed in a way that the guys are clear that what we learn out of it, what you learn out of it, and how will we move forward. So eventually it reflects in their OKRs. So that's how it goes on. And in this COVID crisis, the challenge we are facing is that we're trying, when we're reconfiguring their areas of work, so they have to work across the boundaries. So that is where we're finding a difficulty now. And we're trying to convert them in intrapreneurs, whereby they have a small business unit within the organization, and they're working as entrepreneurs there.
Okay. Okay. Folks, one last question, then we'll open it out to the floor. What would each of you recommend the government to do to improve our economic growth? And I say economic growth deliberately, because essence of it has to be human talent management. Our government's approach, unfortunately, has been and continues to be, whether it's martial law, whether it's Nawaz, whether it's Zardari, whether it's Imran, that we will take a begging bowl and go outside and beg, and hopefully we will have enough money to be able to spend. Is that all that is required in terms of HRM, in terms of talent management, in terms of innovation, in terms of research? We had the seminar last week, and we had Paul Kaiser, one of the management consultants who everybody hires, who told us very clearly, didn't tell us much, but he told us that there is no research and innovation in this country. And you guys have today given us a lot more information as to how bad we are. So I stand by my statement that we are talent repellent. But what would each of you say to the government going forward? What should they change in order for us to grow, especially in terms of talent management? Imran, start.
Well, first of all, I believe there is opportunity in the next decade where we can do research, we can do product innovation, we can build local institutions. I'll just take the example of the energy sector. The new report that has come out says that Pakistan needs to invest $60 billion in the next decade on the energy sector. This does not include downstream, just includes generation. That's a significant opportunity where we can develop our own talent, we can do our own research, we can bring in innovation. But we end up with our new engineers and our younger lot being paper pushers for all these quote unquote foreign companies that come in. The second element is this product innovation. I mean, Saurabh cycle is Saurabh cycle since 1947. Where is the innovation? What is the Engineering Development Board doing about it? We have a need to bring in energy conservation. How many new products have come out to do that? So I will look at all these SMEs and all these other institutions that we have to bring some sort of a research and thinking process, and obviously they need to be recognized. We tried this as part of the IEEE Pakistan a few years ago with one of the universities. We gave them solar panels. We gave them two sets of solar panels. One was to do reverse engineering. One was to use in the university and do research. They ended up sitting in the backyard with not work being done. We just don't have the culture to do research, do important things, doing to bring in incremental changes. Khadi is a good example which came in earlier, which had the vision when it was only a small one shop up in on Gizri, that they took the team of 15, 20 designers every year abroad to let them see what the world was doing. Local institutions, again, there is a lot of talk today, I'll give one example here, a lot of talk today of doing futures for our oil imports. But there is an institution in Karachi called Pakistan Mercantile Exchange sitting here, which does some of that work, but it has not even been
Good point. Oops. Did we lose Imran?
I think we did.
Okay, Sadia, why don't you take over?
I'll take over from what Imran said. Just like Saurabh, who haven't changed anything, our government needs to come in. I don't know in what way. Honestly, I don't understand the government. I don't work with them. But I can quote an example, Intervote. We've always heard of Intervote. कुछ साल पहले उन्होंने डिसाइड किया कि अब हमने आर्किटेक्ट अब हमने डिजाइनर हायर नहीं करने दे वेंट एंड दे पिक्ड अप अ एंटायर क्लास ऑफ एनसीए फ्रेश ग्रेजुएट्स एंड दैट्स वेयर दे केम बैक इनटू द मार्केट विद लोअर प्राइस मोर इकोनॉमी ड्रिवन फर्नीचर नाउ एवरीबडी गोज टू इंटरवुड पहले एक सिलेक्ट लोग जाते थे हमें इनोवेट अपनी ही चीज़ों से करना है हम बाहर के ना तो बैगिंग बोल के लिए जा सकते हैं ना बाहर से हम इंतज़ार कर सकते हैं कि कौन सी कंपनी आएगी पैसे लगाएगी तो हमें नौकरी मिलेगी हमारे अपने सेठों के पास बहुत काम है आई वर्क विद सो मेनी लोकल ऑर्गेनाइजेशन आई एम अ वेरी बिग सपोर्टर ऑफ लोकल ऑर्गेनाइजेशन माई ओनली रिक्वेस्ट फ्रॉम यू फ्रॉम स्टेक होल्डर इज हमें अपने लोकल सेठ का जहन बदलना पड़ेगा हम नोबल एंड पेजेंट्स की तरह काम नहीं करेंगे हम प्रोफेशनल्स को इज्जत देंगे आप करीम को देख लीजिए उसने ड्राइवर को जब कैप्टन बनाया ना तो हमने हम सब ने करीम यूज की मेरे पास आज मेरा दराज का राइडर राइडर नहीं है डिलीवरी हीरो है आप परसेप्शन बदल दीजिए और सारे बच्चे काम करते हैं हमें हर किसी ने एमडी नहीं बनना हर किसी ने जीएम नहीं बनना इकोसिस्टम ऐसे ही बनता है हमें अब जो एक चीज करनी है ना हमें पेशे को इज्जत देनी है हमारे यहाँ कोई बच्चा कहता है मैंने फायर ब्रिगेड में जाके काम करना है अमेरिका में तो सारे खड़े हो जाते हैं हम भी तालियां बजाते हैं हमने उस वक्त कैप्टन को इज्जत दी जब करीम ने उसको कैप्टन बनाया आदत है इंटरव्यू लेने की तो हर कैप्टन का इंटरव्यू लेती हूँ 70% वो थे जो एक्चुअली ड्राइवर नहीं थे जब करीम ने काम शुरू किया था फिर जब कारोबार बन गया तो हर एक ने अपनी गाड़ी लगा दी सो लेट्स वर्क ऑन टेलिंग आवर यूथ देयर इज नो हार्म इन बीइंग अ सेल्स पर्सन एंड गेटिंग योर डिग्री There is no harm in just doing internships from the age of 14. Let us as organizations do that. Let's tell them ki beta kaam karna padta hai. Hum hamari bhi galti hai na. As parents bhi hamari galti hai. Hum bachcho ko kaam karna nahi sikha rahe. It starts from home. Let's stop blaming everybody else. आप में से और हम में से कितने वालदैन हैं जो घर बैठ के अपने बच्चों के साथ अपना दिन डिस्कस करते हैं कि बेटा दफ्तर में ये किया था जब मेरा बेटा अपना इंटरव्यू देने गया मैंने बिल्कुल नहीं पूछा था क्या करना चाहते हो क्या नहीं करना चाहते कॉलेज के इंटरव्यू के लिए तो उस इंटरव्यू के सारे सवाल पूछे कहेंगे आपने पहले तो कुछ नहीं पूछा था ऐसा बेटा मेरा फेलियर होता अगर तुम इंटरव्यू में फेल हो जाते बिकॉज रोज बैठ के डिस्कस करती हूँ इस कैंडिडेट ने ऐसे किया इसने ऐसे किया सो लीड बाय एग्जांपल कॉर्पोरेट में नहीं घर में भी है हर चीज में गवर्नमेंट को नहीं इल्जाम देना चाहिए हमें जिम्मेदारी खुद उठानी होगी और अपनी लोकल कॉर्पोरेट्स को सपोर्ट करना होगा दैट्स ऑल आई एम सेइंग एंड नॉट द आई एम सॉरी बट नो डिसरिस्पेक्ट बट नॉट द एंग्लोज एंड द फातिमास नॉट द एंग्लोज एंड द फातिमास द मीडियम साइज एंटरप्राइजेस आर द वंस दैट नीड सपोर्ट दे हैव द मसल टू गेट द सपोर्ट
गुड
You must come to our seminars tomorrow and day after and raise this issue. Let's see how these jokers react. Mahanji, let me also tell you, Sadia Bibi, right now we are working on a post-COVID scenario. And the government has got the UNDP and the World Bank to prepare it because nobody locally is good enough to do it. That's our mentality. That's how we think of our local talent. So, ye kya kare? Anji,
aapka ek minute lungi. Jab main LUMS, IBA, CBM, Beria, sab universities mein phone karke kehti hu ki ji mujhe char classes chahiye, paise nahi lungi. Ye batana chahti hu bacche interview kaise dein. To kabhi kisi ne respond nahi kiya. Ab main hamesha ye kehti hu ki I need to dye my hair blonde, have an American accent and blue contact lenses. I will get paid in dollars.
Bilkul sahi.
Secondly, जो हमारी सोसाइटल वैल्यूज हैं वहाँ जो सक्सेस की डेफिनेशन है वो इतनी खराब हो गई है कि ऑनेस्टी डिसिप्लिन के बजाय अब हम शॉर्टकट्स और उस पे चलेंगे. वो जब तक वो चेंज नहीं होगा, इट्स अ वेरी डिफिकल्ट टास्क, बट जब तक वो चेंज नहीं होगा हम नीचे से ऊपर लीडरशिप डेवलप शायद ना कर सकें. ऑन द गवर्नमेंट साइड हमारे पास क्लैरिटी, गवर्नमेंट नीड्स टू क्लियर कट नेशनल प्रायोरिटीज हैं क्या. आर वी डू वी वांट टू बी इंडस्ट्रियलाइज्ड, डू वी वांट टू बी अ रॉ मटेरियल एक्सपोर्टर, डू वी ओनली वांट टू बी वैल्यू एडेड. ये प्रायोरिटीज क्लियर नहीं है जिससे कार्टलाइजेशन होती है, जिससे इंटरेस्ट ग्रुप्स बनते हैं और उसके बाद एक टग ऑफ वॉर जारी रहती है और गवर्नमेंट कभी इसका SRO इशू कर रही होती है और कभी उसका SRO इशू कर रही होती है. और सेकंड जो चीज है वो ये है जी कि दे डोंट हैव क्लियर अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ द रोड ब्लॉक्स. सो इंस्टेड ऑफ दे गिविंग आउट रीबेट्स, इस रोड ब्लॉक्स को क्लियरली आइडेंटिफाई करें और उनको रिमूव कर दें. वी हैव अ लॉट ऑफ एंटरप्रेन्योरशिप, लोग बहुत ग्रो कर सकते हैं, मगर ये दो चीजें बहुत इंपॉर्टेंट.
एक्सेलेंट जी अमजद सर.
Sir, I would add to what have already been talked about. From government's perspective, sir, my input would be that they need to create the benchmarks for the evaluation of their ministries, benchmarks for the evaluation of the different industries, right? And then they need to create that kind of a competitive environment where they will pitch some kind of a award ceremony and ask them to present. And that benchmark has to be developed based on a research. And here I would like to little criticize the academia side. Most of the academia, they are focusing in terms of their research paper towards impact factor. So our research are more impact factor and less of a business impactful, right? So our academia must focus in terms of their research to produce the research papers which cater to the requirements of, for example, ministry. When we give an example of that, government has engaged UNDP for creating that kind of a benchmark for, you know, post-COVID. Why was, so? Because probably our academia was not up and prepared to, you know, take on this challenge, or for that matter, must have done in advance the kind of research which they were supposed to do there. And that too from a practitioner's perspective, not the scholarly one. You know, you more focus on scholarly, you create more professors, and you less create the MDs and, you know, all these business leaders. So academia side must focus on the research which is impactful in terms of practitioner's perspective. And in parallel, government must use these research papers to create the benchmarks. And if I may refer some of the benchmarks, for example, you would definitely have heard about EFQM is one of the standards, European Federation for Quality Management. Malcolm Baldrige is another standard. Intelco, TM Forum for that matter. Now, all these organizations create benchmarks to give an opportunity to the industries and companies to compare themselves and see the gap. And then they also offer in order to bridge that gap, some of the programs, development programs. So government job is to create benchmark, do this gap analysis, and then enable organizations, industries, for that matter, ministries to cope up the gap and then move forward.
Okay, good. Tahir, I deliberately left you for last to give us something that is worthwhile to think about. These guys have given us a lot of material. While I share the comment on the academia, but I think quite frankly, where do international agencies get their ideas from? After all, Pakistan is a complex country. I don't think anybody can know it in a 2-week trip. I've worked in a number of countries, too many to count. I've gone on mission there from the IMF. Every 2 weeks I'd spend and write a report. And I'd tell my country friends there, I'd say, look, this report is my boss's. Please don't read it. Because I know nothing about your country. I can write well, I can please my bosses, that's all that matters. So that's what happens. So Tahir sahab, tell me, what do you
do? First, let me see, mic is on. Okay. First thing is that if I look at the opportunity, historically, there are a few times when a time to change comes in. So, I mean, I think so. COVID has given you an opportunity where the world is closing down its supply chain, there'll be more nationalistic. आपके पास अपॉर्चुनिटी मौजूद है नंबर वन गवर्नमेंट हैज टू लर्न टू बिकम लेस ऑफ व्हाट इट इज टू कैसे करेक्टर चेंज करेगी एंड दैट इज दे नीड टू डिफाइन नाउ द प्रायोरिटीज दे वांट टू बी इन ओवर लास्ट 70 इयर्स वी हैव सीन सर्टेन एक्सपेरिमेंट व्हिच इज वर्क्ड वी हैव अ नेशन व्हिच इज वी कैन कीप ऑन हार्पिंग ऑन इट वी डोंट हैव टैलेंट बट वी हैव पीपल हु आर टैलेंटेड वी हैव सीन पीपल हु सर्वाइव in all kind of adversities. So we have that resilience as a nation to be able to survive. That's number one. Number two, we have also seen people going into areas which are new, which are kind of innovative. Maybe we are not making innovation at a research level. Maybe we are not going to come into basic sciences and discover some kind of a DNA, but we have applied innovation to see all across Pakistan in various companies. So government has to recognize that they need to come out of the mode of just supporting these big mafias, big companies who are seeking government money to be able to survive. So some of them are going to fail. Please let them fail. Please don't support them. If the sugar industry has to fail, let some of them fail. So, I mean, rather than trying to support and try to support people, there is huge availability of entrepreneurship, opportunities in fintech, in agri-tech, in service delivery, even in small manufacturing and all kind of manufacturing which has gone out of this country. We have an opportunity now to do it. Would they have the vision? Would they have the guts to do it? I'm not sure. But opportunity is there. The ground is there. Rather than trying to fix too many things, ki main academic ko theek kar dun, vice chancellors theek kar dun, they need to pick up one or two items to fix. If they're able to do it, bring that focus, I think so you will see a better tomorrow than we are seeing today. Thank you.
Very, very well put, Tahir. I just want one amendment. We are talent repellent. We throw out talent. It's not that we don't have talent. We have a lot of talent, just like any other country. The unfortunate part is that our people go overseas and they do very well. We've got dollar billionaires sitting in California, sitting in whatever. Some of them are from my school. We know them. We've got CEOs sitting out there, but unfortunately in our countries, they're useless. We've got world-class doctors, but they're useless, unfortunately, in our country. I remember meeting Ayub Umayya, and he told me his whole story and how he wanted to come back to Pakistan. But anyway, I won't say more. Folks,
just one comment.
Okay.
We were operating in a very globalized world for last 15, 20 years. You know much more than I do. I'm not even a student of what I'm talking about. So now I see the world is shrinking and people are going to raise the walls around their territories. The mobility of talent, which we saw in 20 years, may or may not be there to that extent. Immigration curbs are going to come in. So I see the retention of talent in the country a little bit higher for next many years to come than we saw it earlier. So I'm hopeful from that end rather than trying to compete with the world for talent.
Agreed, agreed, absolutely. Okay, folks. I'm happy to learn, so it's okay.
Kail sahab, aap bilkul theek keh rahe hain ke logon ko issue hoga with the current situation. The world out there will not be all that welcoming for us. But you know what? We have to change the mindset over here. I am not at liberty to name the company. I have a candidate with 32 years of global finance experience in two Fortune 500 companies. He wants to come back. I have two positions with the local corporate. First of all, financials is a bit of an issue, so we worked around that. And then guess what? They said, isne wo CA nahi kiya hua. I said, dekhiye, CV to dekhiye. 32 saal se ye Fortune 500 companies ka duniya ke 13 mulkon mein head of finance ka hai. Wo chairman sahab ne mulaqat se inkaar kar diya. Hame mindset apna badalna padega. कि सीए नहीं किया और 32 साल का एक ग्लोबल सीएफओ मेरे पास है, वो वापस आना चाहता है और आपकी कीमत पे आना चाहता है. वो आपसे 20 लाख नहीं मांग रहा, आप फिर भी उसको नहीं ला रहे. हमें गवर्नमेंट की सपोर्ट की यहाँ जरूरत है. आप लीडर्स को तो ट्रेन करें, आप सेठों को भी ट्रेन करें. स्टेक होल्डर्स की ट्रेनिंग की जरूरत है बहुत ज्यादा. टैलेंट है भी और आएगा भी वापस.
वो गूगल वगैरह ने, आपकी बात की तायीद कर रहा हूँ, गूगल वगैरह ने डिग्रीज ही लेनी बंद कर दी है. और दूसरी चीज उन्होंने कहा हमें लिटरेचर वाले बंदे चाहिए, हमें कल्चर वाले बंदे चाहिए. तो ये भी काम
ले ले 300, आप मेरे से 300 ले ले नॉन रेजिडेंट पाकिस्तानी आज ले लीजिए. आप बताइए कहाँ चाहिए.
सही बात कह रही, सही कह रही. Ajay ji, folks, any questions? It's up to you. The floor is open for the audience.
I have a question, Nadeem, and then I have
to go. Time, that's all I'm saying. One at a time. That's all. Yeah, to haath khada kar ke call on ko ya fir bari bari ye samiya bol.
Nadeem, mujhe jana hai isliye jaldi se two bits main apne beech mein wo kar lu. Wo ye hai ki this was a very nice panel and very impressive. Many, you know, 100 plus years of experience on display aur sabne bahut achhi baatein ki. I'm going to play a little bit of a devil's advocate here and say ke ji aap ji,
that's my job anyway.
I think I've imbibed that from you. Wo ye hai ki aap jab ye kehte hain ki government should change and government should recognize or government should, why should government do any of that? You know, every government comes and says that we've done such a fantastic job. हमने कितना अच्छा काम किया. ये तो दूसरी पार्टी थी जो हमें बुरा भला कहती है. अभी की भी गवर्नमेंट जो है वो कह रही है कि हमने बड़ा अच्छा काम किया. So why should the government do that? दूसरा आप ये कहते हैं कि जो रिसर्च है, जो रिसर्च होनी चाहिए, that should cater to the request and needs of a particular ministry. भाई मिनिस्ट्री की तो कोई नीड ही नहीं है. वो हर दफा आते हैं, अपनी पॉलिसीज बनाते हैं. और मैं, यू नो, सिंस आई एम अ पब्लिक हेल्थ प्रोफेशनल, तो मैं हेल्थ की स्पेसिफिक से कहती हूँ कि वो हर दफा आते हैं, अपनी वो बनाते हैं पॉलिसीज और वो कहते हैं ये बड़ी अच्छी पॉलिसीज हैं और ये बड़ा अच्छा काम करेंगे. उन्होंने टू टेक अ लिटिल बिट ऑफ अ डाइग्रेशन हियर एंड टॉक अबाउट द हायरिंग ऑफ वाइस चांसलर्स. जो पिछले पंजाब में जो 4 मेडिकल यूनिवर्सिटीज बनी है उनके वाइस चांसलर्स हायर हुए थे, तो आई वाज आल्सो पार्ट ऑफ द प्रोसेस. वो एक बड़ी लंबी कहानी है. मगर वो वाइस चांसलर्स जो हायर हुए, दे आर वेरी टैलेंटेड पीपल. दे आर वेरी टैलेंटेड सर्जन्स एंड टैलेंटेड डायबिटिक स्पेशलिस्ट एंड टैलेंटेड कार्डियोलॉजिस्ट. और हर कोई उनको कहता है कि वो बड़े टैलेंटेड हैं, बड़े अच्छे हैं. और मगर उन्होंने जो है 50% 60% पोजिशन उन यूनिवर्सिटीज में वेकेंट पड़ी हुई हैं और वो हायर नहीं कर रहे हैं इन स्पाइट ऑफ देयर टैलेंट. येट द गवर्नमेंट सेज दे आर डूइंग अ वेरी गुड जॉब. सो आप जब कहते हैं कि गवर्नमेंट को ये फिक्स करना चाहिए, वो फिक्स करना चाहिए, इफ आई वाज द गवर्नमेंट आई वुड से कि हां हमने तो सब फिक्स किया हुआ है, व्हाट्स योर प्रॉब्लम.
ठीक, डन, ओके.
आई हैव टू, अनफॉर्चूनेटली आई हैव टू गो. दिस वाज अ वेरी नाइस पैनल. थैंक यू
वेरी मच. आई विल रिएक्शंस लेटर. आई विल कलेक्ट अ फ्यू क्वेश्चंस, कम बैक टू द पैनल. फोक्स, और कोई बोलेगा? मोहसिन साहब, आप कुछ कहने लगे थे?
जी, आई वांटेड टू आंसर योर क्वेश्चन दैट आई थिंक द whole thing that needs to change basically is all around culture, and whether it is the culture in the government or culture in private sector organizations. Everything revolves around culture. Culture, which has got which is like if you want to build a learning organization, that also stems from culture. Most of the problems that we have alluded to, whether it's benchmarking as a culture or all adopting best practices, world's best practices. Like I heard, on one side I heard there's a lot of local talent. On the other side, I heard the lady talking about looking for talent abroad and bringing them from abroad. So I think holistically speaking, if you look at the global leaders, they build organizations or establish a very strong culture in them. And whether it is an innovation culture or any other form of culture, but the strong thing that binds them together and makes them tick and successful is culture.
Anybody else, folks?
Yes, it's me, Parvez Tahir.
DGPT, boliye. Parvez Tahir, former chief economist, boliye.
I have a question from panelists. What kind of backgrounds they experience among the few innovators and good managers that they were? Were they all MBAs or they were from other disciplines also?
Good question. Good question. Anybody else, Chief? Okay. If nothing else, I'll turn back to panel then.
Can I say something?
Please, please, please.
Please, please, please.
Please,
please, please. Please, please, please.
Please, please, please.
Please,
please, please. Please, please, please. Please, please, please. Please, please,
Well, I'm a labs engineer or labs scientist, whatever that means. But just for the record, things that we've designed, we've exported, some of them costing $250,000 each. Germany, Switzerland, and Spain. Specialized high-tech. Now, what I want to say is that what the panel has been discussing so far has become, in fact, become a little random. It went off the track. You talk about leadership. We talk about human capital, human resource management. Everything is specific to a specific environment. PSO doesn't need so much innovation, or sorry, PTCL, as it needs competence. With the man who does the splicing together, the man who keeps the things running, so it's a different requirement everywhere. Another thing, and I've been stressing this for several years now. I think somebody picked up the Ransom or somebody about energy. It's not $60 billion needed for Pakistan. If we want to match the per capita electricity availability of Malaysia, we will need to spend something like $225 to $230 billion. And about 20%, about 20 to 25 billion can be done locally right now. And coming back to the generic issue of human resource, human capital, it is not the degrees that matter. The knowledge worker today is not a PhD or a master's. The knowledge worker is a man who works in the workplace, the one who does the computing, the one who does your digital interfacing and so on, the man who does manufacturing in an SME. So it is the skills that are missing in Pakistan. And this is to be coupled with the expectation crisis in our universities. And again, we came around to the reward system. We are trying to confuse the business environment with the academic environment.
Okay, great.
It doesn't work like that. For example, Things that came out of my labs, but I'll just leave it this at the end. One small item was a tripod, which we tried 7 vendors, and finally somebody made it for us. That fellow had 15% of the EU market only for tripods in 2016, 2017. No help from the government. Good work, good practices, good standards. So things are human resources, human capital is ability to be employed. Most of our people, our schooling is a school system, people are not employable. People who come out of it.
So unless there's anybody else, I'll go back to the panel. So Khurram Saab, can you start answering whatever you want to answer, your last final words?
Yeah.
You, Khurram Saab?
जी जो इनोवेशन पे मैं कुछ कमेंट करना चाहूंगा जी, एक तो ये कि जो हमारे यहाँ जो लोग हु आर क्रिएटिव इनोवेटिव मोस्ट ऑफ देम उसका डिग्री से कोई डायरेक्ट रिलेशनशिप नहीं है. वी हैव पीपल जो स्टेट ऑफ द आर्ट मशीन्स के कमीशनिंग करने जो बाहर से आते हैं, दे गेट इम्प्रेस्ड के आपके लोगों ने मशीन को इम्प्रोवाइज कर दिया. सो इनोवेशन का डिग्री से कोई ताल्लुक नहीं थी, और वो नर्चर एक एनवायरमेंट में और एक हमारा वो जुगाड़ एटीट्यूड है उससे होती है.
गुड, ठीक है जी. क्यों जी, अमजद साहब, वुड यू लाइक टू से समथिंग, फाइनल वर्ड्स, reaction to whatever has been said or what you like?
Yes, sir. I would partially like to address the first query, which was with regards to the research. In the recent past and now the phase we are going through, you can understand that the kind of leadership competencies are required are in a way greatly changed. We need people now who are more future oriented, who are more digitally savvy, who are more into designing digital business models and nurturing those kind of a practices. Now, my question and the earlier input was that our universities should have been far ahead of in terms of research. Recently, in the last week, I was reading one of the article published by Harvard, and they have actually came up with the revised leadership model in a digital arena, right? So my input was that our universities should be thinking far ahead in terms of the future. So therefore, their research should not be only based on the requirements of the ministries or any of the organization that is typical commercial, but they should be thinking far ahead of the time and, you know, coming up with the options and proposals. And they should be educating the rest of the communities in terms of what is way forward and how it should be. That's where they should be taking the lead. So that's where my comment with regards to research is. There was another comment, the culture. Yes. Every organization has a culture. Every household has a culture. I mean, the way we operate, the way we interact, the way we communicate, all these are different shades of a culture. But what is the right culture for the organization? That's the most important. Right culture of an organization is the culture which enables that organization's business multiple times. If we want our organization to be designed culturally in a way that it enables their business, then it has to be very well thought out culture based on the corporate values maybe, right? So every culture is a culture, it is good, but from the business perspective, from an employer brand perspective, what is the right culture that has to be defined by every organization for themselves? Thank you, sir.
Okay, great. Anji, Sadia Bibi, what's your take?
My take is very simple, Ji. We are all talking about leadership, we are all talking about innovation, we are all talking about research. Grassroots se cheezein badalni padengi. Main Faisalabad mein thi kuch arse pehle. I interviewed 300 young candidates. International ek retail chain aayi hai, Spar ke naam se, Dutch hai. Mujhe bahut afsos hua ki Faisalabad jo ki ek pre-COVID se pehle hamara ek textile ki duniya hai choti si, wahan pe mere paas 300 bacche the jinke paas naukri nahi thi. To ye kya hamare stakeholders ki, jis tarah se Shaukat saab ne kaha, zimmedari nahi hai ki in tamam bachcho ko उसी शहर में आप जो आपकी स्ट्रेंथ है, सियालकोट में सर्जिकल है, फैसलाबाद में आपके पास टेक्सटाइल है, गुजरात में एक ज़माने में आपके पास कठेरी होती थी, हम क्यों बड़ी बातों पे जा रहे हैं? हम चेंज छोटी चीज़ से क्यों नहीं ला सकते? 70s में आपके पास डिप्लोमा होल्डर्स थे. हम डिजिटल की बात करते हैं, मैं अमृत से डिसएग्री नहीं करती. मेरे पास आज भी इतना कैंडिडेट है जिसके पास स्मार्टफोन नहीं है, उसको डिजिटल से फर्क नहीं पड़ेगा. पहले अपने बेस को ठीक कीजिए, अपने लोगों को रोजगार दीजिए, उनको कैप्टन डिलीवरी हीरोज बनाइए, उनको इंटरलूप जैसी फर्म्स दीजिए. इंटरलूप का कोई बच्चा नहीं छोड़ता नौकरी उसी फैसलाबाद के अंदर. So let's change the culture of our local corporates. Let's stand together as professional and say, okay, you don't want a 32-year experienced CFO, Seth Saab, then I will not work with you. You have to respect this. We have to inculcate respect for professionals, and professionals are not general managers and leaders. The professionals are that boy who is working as a salesperson and studying in the evening. So that's my take on it. Let's start respecting professions.
Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Ji, Tahir sahab.
Sir, main aapka question miss kar.
Ji, Tahir sahab.
Yes, sir, main aapka question miss kar gaya tha. Can you say, because I had some problem with my internet connection.
क्वेश्चन अब लास्ट वर्ड्स है. एक क्वेश्चन आया था इनोवेशन के, भाई इनोवेशन के लिए जो लोग हैं डू दे हैव टू बी एमबीएस और समथिंग या इनोवेशन क्या क्या व्हाट आर द. एक क्वेश्चन आया था कि कल्चर इज ऑल इंपॉर्टेंट, हाउ डू वी चेंज कल्चर, एंड आई हैव फॉरगॉटन द अदर क्वेश्चन. सो यू नाउ लास्ट वर्ड्स.
आई विल जस्ट टेक माय लास्ट वर्ड्स. देखें, आई विश इनोवेशन वाज अ टीचेबल सब्जेक्ट एंड यू कुड गो टू अ यूनिवर्सिटी एंड गेट इनोवेटिव. ना स्टीव जॉब्स होता ना बहुत सारे इनोवेटर होते. सो आई डोंट थिंक सो इट हैज गॉट एनीथिंग टू दिस. इट्स अ इट्स इट्स द एनवायरनमेंट एंड इट्स द ओवरऑल एनवायरनमेंट व्हिच द कंट्री प्रोवाइड्स एंड अपॉर्चुनिटीज प्रोवाइड्स. आई थिंक वी ट्राइंग टू फिक्स कल्चर इज एन आउटकम. इफ यू ट्राई टू फिक्स कल्चर फर्स्ट, आई थिंक सो इट्स एन आउटकम ऑफ वेरियस थिंग्स एंड इट्स मच मोर अमॉर्फस. इट इज मच मोर डिफिकल्ट. इट्स नॉट अ लुक एंड फील थिंग. इट इज जस्ट अ फील थिंग कि भाई ये कोई इस तरह की चीज होती है ये. सो आई वुड रादर गो स्मॉल स्टेप्स इन टर्म्स ऑफ एक्शनेबल स्टेप्स. कल्चर विल फॉलो. इफ यू आई मीन यू टॉक्ड अबाउट पीटर संजय, यू हैव रेड इट. आई थिंक सो ही अप्रोचेस कल्चर लेटर एंड द इंटरमीडिएट स्टेप्स एंड स्मॉल स्टेप्स मच अर्लियर इन द गेम टू मेक एन ऑर्गेनाइजेशन. सो माय थिंग इज कि ये छोटे स्टेप्स ने there are opportunities, there is a time right now to do it. If companies will do it, young kids will do it, you will form a new environment, a new ecosystem. Lahore ke andar tech ka ecosystem ban raha hai, Karachi mein fintech ka ecosystem ban raha hai, and there are other things happening. So that ecosystem will come, government kare ya na kare kuch, it will be helping if the government can learn and do something and take this opportunity right now.
Kyun ji, Imran, you have just the last one.
Just one clarification for Shaukat sir. The 70 billion number is based on the recent study. It's only at a 5.5% GDP growth. Aap baat kar rahe universal energy ki. Obviously, if everybody has to have energy, the number is going to be significant. And yes, a certain major portion of that investment should be diverted towards local businesses, engineering businesses.
Any last words? HRM, Imran?
With Vijish and Nadeem sahab, just one small thing. Somebody mentioned solar panels and solar cells. You know, the first solar cells and panels were made in Pakistan in 1970. Solar stills, desalination plants, 15,000 gallons per day set up in Gwadar, all that. Now, the reason I mentioned this is we have very bad institutional memories. We forget what went before. We write vision, then we write another vision, another thing. And we basically, what is the role of the government and what is not the role of the government, that has to be very clearly understood. The delivery of services, education, health, security, and the law, that is what the government is all about. But economics, it can only make the right environment and provide a framework for it and then implement it. There's no implementation mechanism anywhere. It's all left to the whims of the man on that desk. That is the problem.
Folks, thank you very much. It's been a wonderful session. I think this would be the best human resource management. You had three of them. I think this is the best session we've had. But BITE is trying to create a learning environment. So we've got a lot of opportunities for you. So please keep in touch. We are having one this evening at 8 o'clock on the higher education, HEC. We are having one tomorrow at, I think, 11 or 12. On civil service reform, you'll get the notice, and we'll have on Pakistan administration. I shouldn't say civil service reform, that's a bad word. And we are having one day after tomorrow, and companies to grow. So we're going to do these three things, then we're going to do a lot more later. But we do almost two or three every week because we think now that people are sitting at home, they should at least learn. And we should take a learning opportunity. The problem is that people in Pakistan, this is going back to the panel, people in Pakistan don't want to learn. The PID holds seminars and conferences in the auditorium of the Planning Commission, the only auditorium in the Secretariat. And folks, Sadia, Imran, Khuram, Amjad,
Tahir, let me tell you. How many civil servants turn up? How many do you think? Any projections?
8 or 10 retired.
Zero. I told you I worked in the IMF for 30 years. We were enjoined in our departments. In every department, we enjoined to hold a seminar. Every department was forced to hold a seminar. And we held a seminar every department. And sometimes, Stan Fisher, who's a legend in his own time, who used to be deputy managing director, he used to come and sit at the back and listen. Mike Musa, another legend, used to come in the back and listen. They were not chairing the session, they were listening. So this is the culture that's need changing, folks. When you have civil servants listening to webinars, when you have policymakers, ministers listening to webinars, you know something. Right now, the ministers only come on TV because they're free airtime and they go yab, 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 yab without knowing anything, but they will catch them listening to experts. That will not happen. So Sadia, you're right. We must give our professional respect, but most importantly, we must listen to them too. Amjad Sahab, it's not that there is no research in Pakistan. And please stop looking at lums. Look to other institutions too. There are people. I'm not saying we are very good, but there are people. But if you're going to send everybody to Harvard for that third-rate course, which I don't know why people send people to, we did a webinar on this last week. You should have come there, with a guy who's written a book on this Harvard advisory group. And that was very instructive. How they have conned us into thinking that they are the best people in the world is also another story. We will do more webinars on that. We did one last week with a guy from England. What is the name? Marcus Special. That also needs to be said. We need to self-explore, self-understand. Folks, thank you very much. I admire your cooperation. I salute you. Thank you very much for giving us your time. We've learned a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nazim Saab. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good talk.